Meeting of the Plainview Old Bethpage Board of Education. Please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance. Tara.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No, we start with her. Good evening. We are going to start the first part of our meeting with our reorg, and I nominate Dr. Lewis.
Second.
I second.
To be our temporary chair. All in favor? Now we have to. I'm going to nominate Debbie.
Wait. Oh, we'll
first she has to swear in.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Chair, oh, yeah. She can't vote. Yeah.
I, Lorna R. Lewis,
do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of the Superintendent of Schools.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of the Superintendent of Schools.
Of the Plainview Old Bethpage Central School District.
Of the Plainview Old Bethpage Central School District.
Town of Oyster Bay.
Town of Oyster Bay, Nassau County, New York.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
I nominate Debbie Bernstein to serve as President of the Board of Education.
I second.
Any discussion? favor? Good luck, Deb.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
We don't get a discussion?
I didn't ask for a discussion.
I, Jody Keller, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of the Vice President of the Board of Education of the Plainview Old Beth Page Central School District, Town of Oyster Bay, Nassau County, New York, according to the best of my ability.
I move items 3.4 through 4.37 of the reorganization meeting.
All those in favor? Okay, now, what number are we going to? Okay, so, oh, you can? You can?
Yes, I can.
Okay, 4.38. Oh, well, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we should put that in the reorg. Okay, so you're moving, and okay.
So now we have.
She's gonna second.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the following three individuals to be appointed as Welfare Fund trustees for the Welfare Fund of the PCT, Teamsters Local 237, Ginger Lieberman, Seth Greenberg, and Tara Rock.
I'll second.
All those in favor? Okay, so I guess Lauren is going to go? Oh, you're on it. Seth is not on. Oh.
Wait a second. What?
Okay. You'll second.
I mean, I'm following this. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second.
The audit committee.
Yeah.
Page 11.
4.39. Nine.
Page 11.
Jody, Lauren, and Susan.
Okay, well, won't he say it when he's making the motion?
Okay. I make a motion to approve the following individuals to membership on the audit committee. For the Board of Education, Jody Keller, Lauren Saxteen, Susan Stewart. Community members, Mark Hammerin and Barbie Goldstein.
Second.
All those in favor? Okay. Tara, you make the motion on the architects.
Okay. Smith as the district's architect for the period of July 1, 2019 through October 31, 2019.
Second, all those in favor? You got that? Okay. Opposed? Okay, so you want to, oh, you want to move all of those?
Okay, so it's 4.1, okay.
I'd like to make a motion to approve items 4.41 through item 4.59.
Second. All those in favor?
Okay.
Okay, so Ginger, you second? All right, so now, no, we already said all in favor. Ginger?
I move that the following board members be appointed to serve on the policy committee for the 2019-2020 school year: Debbie Bernstein, Seth Greenberg, Jody Keller. I'll second.
All those in favor?
I move to unanimously.
No,
I'm sorry. I move to make a motion to the following of the board member for the legislative committee for the school year of 2019-2020: Jody Keller, Ginger Lieberman, and Tara Rock.
I second the motion.
All those in favor? Can I have a motion to adjourn the organizational meeting? Seth, second. Tara, all those in favor? Thank you. That's right. Okay. Now we're going to move to the regular meeting. Are there board announcements? Ginger?
To comment on the high school graduation, it was just one of the greatest graduations we had. The students were fantastic. The weather was great. Everybody had a seat. The speeches were wonderful. And to the families and the graduated and our graduated students, we wish them a lifetime of success.
Thank you. Any other board announcements? Dr. Lewis, superintendent announcements?
For the purpose of brevity tonight, because I know what we have a full agenda, I just want to say that we ended the year. I am afraid of next year because we have done so well. A 99% graduation rate, and only three students did not walk across the state, and those three students will be finishing up in summer school. So essentially, we will have 100% Regents Diploma rate, 85% of those students earning an advanced Regents Diploma, the highest we've ever had, and 92% of our students, 92% going to four-year colleges. That is record-breaking, and it is just a stunning work done by all, K through 12. So thank you to staff and to the board for their support. It just is a wonderful year.
Thank you. Okay, we're now going to go on to public participation. However, I'm going to ask that only people who do not have something to say about Fern Place come up during this public participation, because we will have another public participation when we have the Fern Place Forum following our meeting. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could in some way be violated. If you have come to discuss a specific staff member or student, although prohibited by our policy, we ask you to leave or send your statement to the district clerk. As a reminder, an audio recording, and this time I think a visual recording, of our meeting is taking place, including public participation, will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. The floor is now open.
Jack Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. I just want to take this opportunity to wish the staff and the board a very successful school year. I know you will do your best, and I look forward to your actions in the forthcoming year. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacques. Very nice. We appreciate it. Anybody else? Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. Can I have a motion on the routine business? Ginger, second. Jody, any hold separations or discussion? All those in favor? Thank you.
We have two new staff members.
Oh,
we're here.
Vince?
In front of you.
Thank you. By action of the Board of Education this evening, you've appointed a number of new staff members. Several of them are here today. So I'd like to just introduce them. And when you hear your name, please stand. A new behavioralist for the district, Dana Mancari. Dana? Okay. We have our assistant principal at Old Beth Page, Kristen Seidel. Welcome. Our new world language chairperson, Mr. Leonardo Rivera. We have a new math teacher at the high school, Jackie Leary. I don't know if Jackie's here tonight or not. And then we have two part-time teachers, Ms. Ellen Huang and Mike DeSalvo, French and Chinese, teacher of Chinese, if they're here. Congratulations and welcome aboard.
One more thing.
So we have the theme for next year, and the theme is We Move Mountains. POB Schools, We Move Mountains.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome our new staff members. We're very excited that you've decided to join our family, and welcome. Okay, new business. Can I get a motion on 11.1? Ginger, second. Lauren, any hold separation discussion? All those in favor? A motion on 11.2 consultant services agreement. Jody, second. Tara, hold separation or discussion? All those in favor? Can I get a motion on 11.3 ratification of an agreed upon memorandum of agreement? Seth, second. Susan, hold separation or discussion? All those in favor? 11.4, consultant services agreement, a motion. Jody, second. Ginger, hold separation or discussion? All those in favor? And a motion on the approval of Board of Education meetings for 2019-20 revision. Lauren, second. Tara, all those in favor?
So the latter was to identify the board meeting. This changes the board meeting of August 21st to August 12th. So we will not have a meeting on the 21st. We will have a meeting on the 12th.
Okay, now we are going to begin our Fern Place Forum. We have received many comments, spoken to many community members, and read Facebook postings regarding the possible sale of Fern Place. We understand some people feel passionately about this subject, and we respect your passion. While we ask that this discussion remain respectful and civil, we all recognize that we can agree and or disagree respectfully. Please understand that the board takes no decision that we ever have to make lightly. And like any decision we make, we consider all available information and make our decision based on what we believe is in our students, staff, and or community's best interest. Also, please note that no decision will be made tonight. The board wants to hear and digest community input and will likely make a decision at our next meeting, which Dr. Lewis just mentioned will be August 12th. Comments can continue to be made to the Board of Ed or Central Administration through email and or phone calls. Tonight's format will be Mr. Cunningham will make a presentation, the board can ask questions and discuss, and then the floor will be open for questions and comments. We won't be having a back and forth discussion with the public. However, questions will be answered and any misinformation will be clarified by our central administration. If answers are not available tonight, they will be provided at our next board meeting on August 12th. Additionally, as we are live streaming the meeting, we will be reading and responding to any emails that we receive during the meeting. Thank you for understanding and respecting the format of the forum. Mr. Cunningham?
I apologize. Oh. We overlooked a new science teacher who is here tonight.
Okay.
We did, with my apologies. You've also appointed Heather Rouse as a science teacher leave replacement for this coming school year. So, Heather, my apologies. She is here. Welcome.
We welcome you. And look forward to you working with us. Okay. Now, Mr. Cunningham.
Okay. Thank you. And I appreciate the work Central Administration was able to do with the board in putting together this presentation. As I think everybody in the room already knows, ACDS has notified the district that they do not want to renew the lease, and they've made a proposal to purchase the building from the district. And let's see if I get this thing working. It's a little history on Fern Place. It was built in 1955. It was last used by the school district for public school use in June 1974. That was 45 years ago. The building has about 47,000 square feet, sits on almost 8.5 acres, and it's the smallest school building in the district, and it's on the smallest piece of land. After the building closed in 1974, the district searched to repurpose the building. It was leased to Nassau BOCES for about 22 years. And then for the last 20 years, Association for Children with Down Syndrome, the present tenant, has leased the facility. So that's since 1999. And they've renewed that lease four times since then in a series of five-year leases. ACDS pays for the ongoing expenses of the building, including insurance, general maintenance, such as cleaning, small repairs, utilities, and rent. Okay, so that's pretty standard from releaser. And the district is responsible for taking care of the ground surrounding the building and larger capital projects, such as replacing windows, boilers, roofs, large flooring, any structural jobs, heating, ventilation, plumbing, etc. Public school districts don't charge the same rental rates as a private sector landlord. Public school districts are not supposed to make money by charging market rate rent, but can collect rental fees to offset expenses. So on this graph, and I knew the color wasn't going to show up very well on our beige wall, but the lower line is projected annual revenue going forward. And the top line, which is in orange, is projected annual expense to maintain and preserve the building. So that's the annual maintenance cost plus the average capital expense we put in per year to replace roofs, boilers, large plumbing, water heaters, and things like that. So in a simple analysis, we can see that the revenue of the triple net lease doesn't offset the cost of owning the building, but certainly it has supplemented that cost as we've gone forward. Going back to the 70s, enrollment in Plainview at one point was almost 15,000 students, and then there was a rapid enrollment decline, which many people can recall. And so enrollment swung way down as they did that. The superintendent at the time, Dr. Savitt, worked with the school board to close buildings. And then in the last 20 years, since about 2002, we've seen essentially a stable enrollment. Enrollment has varied by about 100 students, either above or below 5,000 since 2002. So that's a variance of about 2% above or below that 5,000 student population, or about 100 students. So a very small enrollment fluctuation. And the district has worked to deal with that in that time. So knowing that enrollment went down as we went through the 70s, between 74 and 78, the district closed five buildings. It has sold four of those buildings, including Minetto Hill School, Oak Drive, Central Park Road, and Joyce. Fern Place is entirely leased to ACDS, and Jamaica Avenue, which closed later in 1993, is presently leasing a few classrooms to ACDS, where they use as office space, the Shalom Daycare, Miss Debbie's Creative Childcare, and also we have our own program in there with the senior citizens, and we also use the gym for our athletic teams as well. So knowing that ACDS has proposed to purchase the building, the board has promulgated some conditions of any sale, that there would be a restrictive covenant that runs forever with the land, so that the portion of the property that is sold may be only be used as a school and for no other purpose. So that would run with the land, whether or not ACDS is holding the property in 20 years or not. The district would retain ownerships of the fields to the north and also a small square of land that is used by Pasadena. And we'll see that on a map, and it's also here on a large board in front of us. And also the Board of Education would insist on two perpetual easements that run with the land, meaning it doesn't matter who the owner is, the easements would remain. An access easement, giving the district access across the sold parcel to the field that the district does not consider selling. And also a parking easement to give the community and the district access to the sold parking lot in order to use the fields outside of normal school hours. So in a nutshell, what we're looking at is ACDS has proposed to purchase the blue area, and the district would retain the green areas. The north field, which include our baseball field, the Challenger baseball field, and also has been used for soccer, and a small piece of land that sits right against Fern Place that we call Pasadena Square. It's actually part of the Fern Place lot, but the way the fence was run, it's sitting in the Pasadena school field. So the district would retain ownership of the areas in green, which is more than half of the parcel size. So the current status is that ACDS has engaged a real estate broker and has made an offer of over $3 million for the building and has agreed in concept to the perpetual restrictive covenant and the two perpetual easements. ACDS has notified the district they're not interested in renewing the lease on Fern. The district has engaged legal counsel regarding the potential sale. And with that, we open it up for questions from the board.
From the board. Questions? Comments? So, excuse me, not interested in renewing the lease. Assumption being that if we do not sell them the building, that they will go buy a building somewhere else and leaving us with an empty building.
That's the message they've
That's
conveyed
the message
to
they've
us
conveyed.
Through their real estate agent.
Okay.
Yep.
Theoretically, I know that there are districts that have buildings empty that they really are, it's not so easy to how easy is it to rent to a new tenant? Easy, not easy. If we don't sell, can we expect that building will be empty for
Well, I can't speak with any certainty. I can only speak to my experience in other districts where I have had similar experiences and we've been able to partially lease facilities and that you don't necessarily get the same deal. So, for example, when we had a tenant leave in a previous district, it was a triple net lease, meaning that they paid for the cleaning, the maintenance, et cetera, the utilities. But the best we can do after that is we got about 40% of the building occupied. And that tenant was not going to take on as much of a burden to maintain the building. We also know that Half Hollow Hills next door has closed two elementary schools. One is partially leased to a special education preschool program. They have a public library that's temporarily housed in the Chestnut Hill School as they rebuild their Dix Hills branch. They have another school, Forest Park, which I don't believe they've gotten tenants for, so that building is completely empty. And those buildings were just closed 2 years ago. So we know that there are other properties that are more current, more up-to-date than ours, and those are unoccupied in surrounding districts. I just give those.
That actually goes to my next question is, would there be what chances are a new tenant would not be able to just move in as is? There would be some renovation cost before a new tenant would
I think that's
take occupancy?
Fair to assume. Just looking at the tenants that the district has had for the past 42 years, they were both tenants that focused on small group special needs instruction.
Okay.
So many of the rooms have been subdivided.
Okay.
So you don't really know what the needs of another tenant would be. So, for example, a daycare that would need full-size rooms would require work to open up a lot of those rooms because they've been subdivided over the last 42 years.
Okay.
Not all, but many.
Okay. Susan?
So to piggyback a little bit on what Jody was just asking, so Rich, in your experience, the reality of using this building once again as a Plainview Central School District building would cost the district a lot of money to bring it up to 21st century plus standards. Also, you're saying it's a variance of 100 students here and there, so it's not even a full building we're talking about in as far as enrollment variances.
Well, let's consider that a little bit. It is the smallest building. It's smaller than Old Bethpage Elementary School. It hasn't been used in 42 years. Enrollment has been relatively constant. We have gone through periods of time where enrollment has throttled up about 100 students, and the district has gone through the process that we've done before over the last year or two as we look at small fluctuations in enrollment. We know that we're not going to get a huge increase in enrollment because the housing that's being built in the community isn't really being built to house children. Certainly there are exceptions to that when we look on the houses on Joyce Road and things like that. But our trend analysis, and also by using demographers, we're not going to see a big increase in enrollment. And we also know that we're going to start going down again at some point. So with the closing of Fern in 1974, when the district declared that property as no longer being used for public education, the district was no longer required to keep that up to – it was – let me put it this way. It was no longer grandfathered for certain code compliance. This was – we closed it before the Individuals with Disabilities Act was passed. We open that school, we're going to have to accommodate that. It's a two-story building. We don't have an elevator. The door locks, by and large, are round. We'd have to put
levers,
ADA-compliant hardware. We'd have to open up some areas so the doorways are at least 36 inches. And there are different building codes that we would have to build to. So it's not as simple as, okay, we want to use Fern, let's move back in. It would be a major capital construction. And then I think the expectation of the community and the board would be we would want it to be of similar condition to the four other elementary schools. So when we cost that out using our five-year building condition survey and we look at the other things we've done in our elementary schools, just to open the building up to be similar to Pasadena, Judy Jacobs, Stratford, or Old Beth, we'd be investing over $20 million, and that's before we even bought the furniture for the place.
And would that also be we would have to include, we don't have a real recess area where there's no jungle gyms that we have in the other elementary schools or any of those equipment? We haven't even priced that kind of playground out even there too, right? Because right now we just have the Challenger Field and all that.
We'd have to look at
so
that.
So the cost would increase is my point.
I think that's fair. There are certain things that perhaps we didn't project out in there, but we pretty much know what the target is that we'd have to work towards in order to repurpose that as a public school building.
Okay, thank you.
And it would also take us a few years to get there because those projects would have to be submitted to SED and be approved. So it's not a summertime project.
One other question. If we were to leave it, ACDS moves out and we just left it as a building, what would that, do you know what that would cost us on an annual basis?
Well,
that too, but there's also probably
we know that we would expect the annual expense to go down a little bit because there would be less wear and tear, but we would lose the revenue part, so that delta between revenue and expense would probably increase.
So it just become an expense at this point?
You know, the community would be taking on a larger share of the burden of maintaining the building without a tenant.
Okay. Thank you.
Ginger? Just a point of clarification on the lease. I haven't read it in a while. did they not have to return the building to the way it was when they took over?
They had to return it to the condition it was when they took occupancy. BOCES had already done a lot of subdividing when ACDS moved in. So, yes, they would have to return it. So they would have to take down some partitions, but many of them were already existing.
And my other question was, you still have to cost running the building.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to,
yes.
You have to staff it and everything else. Do we have a figure for that?
I don't have a figure for that. However, Old Bethpage, we can, you know, base it off of Old Bethpage,
yeah,
looking
sure.
at a custodial staff where we have a staff of six custodians doing both a day and a night shift, a principal, assistant principal, teachers, however many classes you're going to have, cafeteria staff. The cost of transportation, because we would have to add additional pieces of equipment because we'd be transporting to yet another location.
Mm-hmm.
Clerical. There are a lot of moving parts there.
Okay. I just want to make sure we see the whole picture.
Lauren?
I know we're saying our numbers are going down, but we are expanding our schools. So I just wanted to clarify that even if there is some growth, and for whatever reason, that we do have access to Jamaica Avenue. I just want that to go on record. And also, we are in an upcoming election year, so if we do have to, I just want to confirm that we have space going forward if we do have to implement pre-K and have extra usage of a building, and that we are looking into that as well. And the cost factor going into that at Jamaica Avenue versus the cost factor going in at Fern Place.
Well, in looking at, and it's something we're always looking at, because you never really know where you're going to be. I mean, in terms of even things as basic and there are West Babylon a few years ago had a school fire where they lost an elementary school. All right, so. What if that happens? Where would students go? And how would you accommodate that? Because it took a couple of years to get a school building back there. So it is, I think we all agree, good to have a property that we could use. Jamaica does sit on a much larger property. It's a larger building. And when we do our cost analysis, the cost of renovating Fern to an equivalent condition as renovating Jamaica, if we were going to reopen it as a public school, the cost per square foot is 33% more at Fern because of the nature of the construction. So Jamaica, although larger, costs less per square foot to renovate and put into current condition.
Seth?
So I don't have any questions, but I do, for our discussion portion of this, have some thoughts, some current thoughts that I think summarize some of the feedback that we've gotten and questions that were asked. The way I see it, there are five options, right? ACDS has a lease expiring in August. They've already told us they're not looking to extend it. They're looking to purchase a building, and they've expressed interest in the building that they're currently in. So the five options, as I see it, are one, try to lease it to another tenant. Two, leave the building empty. Three, repurpose the building for some use by our district. Four, knock it down and build something new in its place. Or five, sell it. I think those are all the options that are available. And so I want to address each of them and share some of my current thoughts based upon the information that we've gotten and the due diligence that we've done to date. So the first is, let's try to lease it to another tenant. Let's assume there is no delay in getting a new tenant. Let's further assume that we get a lease that is rent equivalent to what ACDS is paying now. Mr. Cunningham said that's unlikely to be the case, but let's make that assumption. Let's also assume that the district costs don't rise. Unlikely, but let's build those assumptions in. We know that over the last 12 months, we've taken in a little over $500,000 from ACDS. We also know that it costs the district a little over $100,000 in the annual operating expenses. And we've talked about before, and let's put aside the money that had been earmarked and appropriated as part of the 2014 bond that we earlier this year put out for a bid and approved to do some of the work like the fire alarms. And whatnot. So put all that money aside. There is still identified approximately $7.8 million in 2019 dollars of capital repairs that would need to be done just to preserve the building and make it so it doesn't slide into an unsatisfactory condition. Let's use $7.5 million just for round number purposes. These repairs, by the way, are, if we go back to our 2016 building condition survey, all identified as part of the 2016 building condition survey. So assuming my math is correct, we have $500,000 in income. You subtract the $100,000 in operating expenses minus $1.5 million every year for at least the next 5 years. And there's a net loss of $1.1 million in each of the next 5 years. Assuming no change in the delta between rent and expenses, that is, assume about $400,000 per year in additional income over expenses after the 5 years, it would take another 14 years just to break even. So we wouldn't start making money, if at all, off of Fern Place until 20 years from now. And that assumes that the cost doesn't go up, the income is going to be the same, and there are no repairs. And you don't lose your tenant. And we don't know whether we can find a tenant. We don't know how long that would take, right? Right? And I think we need to consider that in making our determination. Option two, leave the building empty. While we may not incur the same kind of operating expenses, we certainly don't have the income. And if we're required to maintain the building at least the step above unsatisfactory level, we would again incur additional costs without any revenue. And that would be even greater than what I just previously described. Generally speaking, vacant buildings in a neighborhood, and I'm anecdotally speaking, do not, can be a drag on a neighborhood. And we're still responsible for any damage that would occur, any maintenance costs. And the longer a school sits vacant, waiting for the, in my opinion, the unlikely time that we might need that building, the harder it becomes to do, well, just about anything other than let the building languish. And so I'm not convinced leaving it empty is the right approach. Third option is to repurpose the building for some use by our district. And the cost, we talked a little bit about it, but we've gotten some numbers. The cost to reopen a school or a school-like facility that is the like and kind with POB's other schools would cost, in 2019 dollars, over $23 million. And that doesn't take into account the potential additional salaries and associated costs to staff it. Again, doesn't even address the busing situation. In my view, our other buildings are more effectively able to house the students. They're more effectively able to deliver the educational programs and services that POB residents have been accustomed to receive. I note, my view, that Fern Place does not mitigate or assist in any way our prior and ongoing discussions about district enrollment, elementary school enrollment, or middle school enrollment. Since Fern Place was closed, we've seen a downward trend in total district enrollment. In the slide that was up earlier, the 1980-81 school year was the last one in which we saw total enrollment above 5,100 students. And our demographers, which was our demographics report was recently updated less than a year ago, and it was presented in December of 2018, they do not project numbers above 5,100 in the foreseeable future. Instead, what we've seen is, just over the last few years in particular, is a shift in where students are enrolled. That is, what quadrant or side of town, if you will, that they're zoned. And while some elementary schools have seen an uptick lately, the board has already decided how it wants to address those concerns. According to that most recent demographics report. During the next 5 years, elementary grades are expected to remain stable. And I would refer to, one, I think, our first December 2018 meeting for that report. Our middle school enrollment challenge is not at all helped or hurt by what we do with Fern Place. That could only be addressed through some form of rezoning the district and or investing financial resources in POB Middle School, or in any one of the 10 or 11 other options that were identified, considered, and already rejected by the board over the last year. We have the facilities currently to house all of our programs and services, and I think it's important that we have to consider investing $23 million to repurpose a building for a use that doesn't appear to be needed. I'm not quite sure that's the most responsible approach either. Fourth, knock it down and build something new in its place. It would be a bigger, a bolder, a longer-term vision and would require an investment of, as I understand, at least $50 million. Something like that could practically only be done through a bond and only after longer-term discussions that the board would want to have with our many stakeholder groups. While I am open to entertaining this discussion, I too recognize the logistical, administrative, and political obstacles that we would have to address in whatever we would ultimately want to put in its place, separate, apart, and in addition to the total cost. As the presentation demonstrates, it is the smallest of our district-owned buildings and is located on the smallest piece of land. So anything new that would be bigger, anything new would likely be a bigger building or a bigger footprint, and may also likely encroach on the fields that we've already indicated that we wanted to preserve. Further, the investment would, at this point, I think, be more of a luxury than a necessity. Again, this option is a longer-term investment. One is fraught with administrative, financial, and, yes, political hurdles. Unless there is an appetite of the majority of the board to entertain this, and I don't believe that there is, I can't see this as a real practical option under the totality of the circumstances either. That leaves option five. Option five is to sell the building. It has been 45 years since Fern Place was last occupied by the district for public school use. And as I just mentioned, it is our smallest district-owned building on our smallest piece of land. We currently are able to effectively educate the students we have and anticipate having. But if that changes, to Ms. Sackstein's point, or if there is a need for an additional building for whatever purpose, we still have a bigger building on a bigger piece of land at Jamaica Avenue. It is also, as we earlier discussed, in better shape for the purposes of what we would need to reoccupy it, and is less costly per square foot to repurpose and upgrade should that also be necessary. So we have a building we haven't used in nearly a half century. We have 22 years occupied by Nassau BOCES, the last 20 by ACDS. This board has already made it a priority to maintain ownership, control, and access to the fields. We have already said that we don't want a tenant other than a school to use the building, and that that covenant must run with the building and land in perpetuity. We also want an easement to get to the fields. We want to have access to use the parking outside of school hours so that our community can continue to use the fields, the baseball field, the challenger field, the soccer fields, and so on. We know that putting all of these restrictions on Fern Place will devalue the building and the land it sits on, but it maintaining ownership over the fields and access to it and having the peace of mind knowing that its use as a school will not change, there is a significant value to that in my view. I think it is important to know that we did do our due diligence, and that is, with all of the restrictions and with all the conditions, the building and the land that it sits on, including the parking, we went out and got, and it was announced, I think, a couple meetings ago, we employed the services to get an appraisal done. And the Fern Place appraised with that building on the land and with all the covenants and restrictions and conditions at $3.2 million. The offer from ACDS, $3.15 million. They are willing to accept all conditions and restrictions we spoke about. If we aren't going to use the building for district purposes, and there is little likelihood that we would find a suitable replacement. And even if we did, it may not make much financial sense to do so. And if we aren't going to spend $50 million or more to knock it down and build something new, then selling it with the conditions and the restrictions and maintaining the field under the totality of the circumstances seems like the best of all the available options. Over the next 20 years, instead of seeing a loss, we walk away with several millions of dollars. I, too, want to hear the community input, but unless we're going to entertain something bigger, which is a lot more costlier and may not be practical, it appears that selling to ACDS may be the best option under the circumstance. That's it.
Thank you. Tara?
So you had mentioned, Seth, that you think it's very unlikely that we'll need the use of that building. You talked about the elementary schools, and I think we've addressed a lot of those issues. We've added on to a number of schools. The board put before the community the option of optional rezoning, mandatory rezoning, 11 different options, and heard community input and decided to add on. And the community voted to add on to Pasadena, and we're currently adding on to some of the other schools. My big concern is the middle schools and the middle school population. So my question is, in looking forward 5-10 years from now, 3 years from now, in 2023, when we see that surge, are we going to have an increase? Let's say we move some of the certain groups of students over to Matlin because we just run out of room at POB. Now, Matlin has administrative offices here. Are we going to be seeing an issue in terms of space that would somehow result in us needing to use another building?
So if you recall, we did some projections on the district through 2023, which is our largest. That will be where the bump will be. We currently have expanded, given that the discussion over the middle school option led us to maintaining our lines as they currently are. We responded by adding onto Pasadena and doing some significant work at POB Middle School in order to accommodate that increasing enrollment. So we believe that given the projections that we have the facilities to house the children that are going to be here according to the projections. Matlin does have quite a bit of room, and if we look at the enrollments in JJP and Old Bethpage, right now we have 58 kindergartners going to JJP next year. We have three sections off in both sides, both of those schools, three sections, maybe four sections at Old Bethpage, versus five sections at Stratford Road. And, you know, so the delta continues to grow. However, we believe that even if there are five sections on every grade level at Pasadena, we can house that, which it's not projected to be, but that's our max. So we can house our children both in both schools, and there's room at Matlin. So the Matlin Middle School still has room for the children that they're receiving. So I don't see a need to move the administrative offices. We have moved quite a bit over to Stratford Road right now, and I don't see Stratford Road needing more room. So there's still more room at Stratford Road in case that school increases. I don't, over the next 10 years, I would say that you would not need it. However, let's say we're totally wrong and we need more room at Matlin for some reason, because the projections are wrong. We have Jamaica Avenue. not fully occupied, even with the tenants that are there. And there's no guarantee that those tenants are going to be there forever. There's room at Jamaica Avenue to move the administrative offices over.
And the cost per square footage to do that would be less than the cost per square footage at Fern?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in a better condition. Jamaica Avenue is in better condition for us to do that.
For our purposes.
For administrative purposes.
Can I ask another question? We talked about the use of the fields. If we needed them for our purposes, during the school day, or our sports teams needed them at some point, for our purposes, can we have access to those fields whenever we need them?
After school hours.
After.
Never use them for other than after school.
He's turning it on. Yeah, I do. The fields belong to you, and there will be an easement giving you access to the property 24/7. The parking lot that will be part of the school's property, you will have access to that as well after school hours.
Okay. So if we needed access to the fields without the parking lot, they're still ours.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Jody?
I want to piggyback on to what Seth was saying about the enrollment issue imbalance. Just my understanding of, we had many conversations about this. We don't have a total enrollment issue. We have an issue with one side of town growing rapidly while the other declines. And the two biggest issues were overcrowding at Pasadena and overcrowding at POB Middle School. Both of which have been addressed through construction. Opening another school on this side of town it will definitely possibly help, moving the overflow from Pasadena into Fern Place would help the Pasadena issue, but that doesn't really at all address the POB Middle School issue unless we're going to take kids from over on this side of town and bus them all the way over to Matlin, which doesn't necessarily seem feasible to me. So... It was a middle school enrollment issue, and opening another elementary school on this side of town doesn't solve the overcrowding at POB Middle School issue. So,
Susan?
And it doesn't seem the community had an appetite for rezoning.
Yes.
I mean, so that was made very, very loud and clear that, the zoning lines were to be stable.
Anybody else? I'm not going to repeat everything that has already been said. I think we all began this process with an open mind, with many questions, and wanting as much information as possible, including input from the community. I know I'll continue to reflect upon all this information and the public comments, and we will eventually make a decision. So do we want to go to public comment now?
Well, I have been monitoring the emails and monitoring the streaming, so I want to say thank you to those people who are home, who are watching this over the website streaming. We have a few questions that have come in, and I have been responding to them. Particularly, I want to recognize, because we've been going back and forth, Mr. Pasternak, Michael Pasternak, who at the beginning of, prior to the conversation, had sent his objections to even the sale of the property, and we've been communicating, and his last communication is, thank you for the public forum. This is very helpful information being discussed. If Jamaica Avenue, of the question you asked, Mrs. Rock, if Jamaica Avenue remains in the district's hands and would be available in case of an emergency, for example, if there were a school fire, asbestos, or a similar occurrence caused a closure, or a need for a new school building, then I withdraw my objections to the sale. is initially he had objected to the sale. I am concerned that if we have no buildings available, the cost of renting a building or building a new school would be astronomical. So he, we've been going back and forth, and I just wanted to bring to your attention that, and again, thank those people who are streaming and continue to send your questions in because I will be presenting them to the board.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to open up the floor again. You can come up to the microphone.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
And congratulations to all of those
that
were recently inducted. My name is Zena Starr. I live at 16 Richard Court in Plainview. I am the street behind the Fern Place School. Aside from, there are a lot of questions that myself and a lot of the neighbors do have, and I'm sure the board will be happy to answer, and also to let Mr. Greenberg know that the sale of the Fern Place School, this is not the first time that it's come up. It did come up a number of years ago, and because we're so astute, we do have a lot of documentation to show what the needs are of the neighborhood if, in fact, it is sold to another facility like ACDS. But that's not why. That's not what I'm asking. I wanted to know, is ACDS the only company or business or school that has offered to make a purchase, or have you put it out there to other people? Have there been? I know that if I were selling my home and if somebody knocked at my door and said, you know, I want to buy a house, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars, I would say, okay, maybe there's somebody out there that's willing to give me a little bit more. Have you entertained any other offers other than from ACDS?
Right.
That's one question.
Okay.
And the other question is, have you ever entertained selling it to a builder and knocking down the school completely and or letting him do and building homes that would conform to the rest of the neighborhood? It's a lovely area, and we do have beautiful homes in there, and we would certainly welcome, and the neighbors would certainly welcome additional new homes. Has that ever been a consideration to sell it to a builder?
I can answer the first question.
Sure.
And the answer to that question is no. The property has not been put out on the market, but there is a specific reason for that, and that is, only the current tenant will take the building as is.
But how do you know that?
Excuse me, please. Thank you.
Because there is much work to be done in that building, and any new purchaser would require much work to be done in order to get it done. And somebody asked the question, or somebody said, how do we know that? And the answer is, I'm the guy who sold the 5 or 6 elementary school buildings in this district over the course of the last 25 or 30 years, plus my work in several other school districts. So there is a basic premise that when you sell a piece of property, whether it be your own home or any other building, there's certain requirements that the seller, plumbing, heating, electrical, things like that, have to be up to certain standards. When you sell a building to a longtime tenant, they have to take the building in the condition that it's in.
Thing is selling it as is?
You can, but that's you can, and that's what.
I'm not being antagonistic. No. I'm just throwing things out. Because
sure.
You know what? I live there, and also, you know, Mr. Garcia, you were involved with us many, many years ago.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, you were, and I'm sure the documentation that we're going, that Mary Lewin is going to bring to the board, you also have copies of. because it was a very big issue with the town. I'm going to leave that to Mary. These are my questions. And you do have all the information that Mary has, you also have copies of. And if you remember, it was for the Mid-Island Y wanting to purchase the Fern Place School and the objections that were set forth for it because of the traffic and it being in an area where there are all private homes, and I'm sure you're aware of it.
You'll have to forgive me because if we're talking about a sale to the Y, that sale ultimately went to the Minetta Hill School, which has got to be 30 years ago.
Yes, it is, but we still have all the
paperwork. Okay, but remember, we're not going to have back and forth.
I know,
so.
We're not going to go back and forth. I just needed these questions answered. Did you ever entertain selling it to a builder?
Okay, well, Dr. Lewis is going to answer your second question.
So the second question is, if you recall the map, the fields are preserved. And we heard we wanted to meet the community's demand, need for the fields.
Absolutely.
And so if we were to sell to a builder, as you have suggested, the fields would go.
Why would the fields go? Why can't you sell him the properties that you're selling to him and he can build on that property?
That's a very small property.
How many acres is that?
There's a legal issue there. When you sell to a private school, you must... you don't have to comply with the same kinds of rules that you sell if you... running the property as a public school. So if the fields are required if we were to keep the school, but the fields are not required for the private school, and consequently this peculiar arrangement that we can sell off the building and keep the fields for the public school purpose.
No, but my question is selling it to a private builder.
She's suggesting that have we considered just whatever the land the building sits on, if we knock that down, retaining the fields.
We can sell it to a builder.
Okay, for the use of homes is what you're suggesting.
Has it ever been entertained? We would certainly love new homes in the area, and it would preserve the area, and it's done all the time. Has this ever been put out there to a private builder? Has it ever been put out?
We have not put it out to a private builder,
okay,
no.
Okay, so before, I would think...
Okay, but remember, we're not going back and forth.
No,
you asked two questions, we answered them.
Like I said, I don't want to sell my home to the first person that comes and says he wants to buy it. I want to explore other options, and the other option is to be explored, I think, to sell it, to consider bringing in private builders to see if they would like to build homes in that area.
That's Thank all. You.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If somebody else wants to speak, and I suspect they do, they can just come up. People can... Okay.
Hello. Good evening. Troy Fernandes, 143 Orchard Street, Plainview, New York. All right, so let's cut to the chase here. These are some impressive and frightening numbers for the less educated. This is all a moneymaker for all parties, district and ACDS, and not what's best for the community. ACDS is calling bluff. If they're going to tell you they're closing doors and they're not going to release, where are they putting all those kids? Where is that revenue and income going to this guy? So, again, I call bluff. Traffic issues. This is another community issue that we have. The traffic. I'm sure you've seen numerous videos, pictures of what a daily traffic jam it is in the mornings and afternoons. Never mind the disregard that the employees, the administrators, and the bus drivers and parents have for the surrounding homes. Building code violations. You, and we as a district, as you say, need to invest money in a building like this. Do you think it's okay and you feel comfortable selling a underprivileged or dump of a building, let's just say, to another educator? And does that educator feel comfortable purchasing a building that is so far below code? That doesn't sound kosher to me. Based on the finances you presented, it seems like we have a lot of catching up to do. And so it appears that you've been running about $1 million loss in the past couple of years based on the projection that you're showing for next year and the years ahead. So $3 million for the school, I don't think will help cut the losses. Again, let's talk to a builder. And if you have a problem finding a builder, you can knock on my door. The district is also becoming younger. On Orchard Street alone, all the older families, I've now been living on Orchard Street for some 25 years, and the older families have moved on, the empty nesters, let's just say, and there's now younger families. We, my husband and I, have a five-year-old daughter. We have neighbors who have newborns, who have five-year-olds, so they're all coming into the district. So we, on Orchard Street alone, are very heavy and ready to go into the schools. So those are my comments. Take them as you may. I look forward to feedback.
Thank you. Mrs. Lewin, go ahead.
Thank you. Meredith Lewin, 136 Orchard Street, Plainview. Meredith Lewin, 136 Orchard Street, Plainview. To piggyback on Mrs. Starr's question about a private developer, Hank sold off a piece of their, Hank, formerly known as Joyce Road, sold off part of their property. Why can't we do the same with Fern? You know, tear it down, sell that piece that it's on, and do that. If you're so, I see which way the wind is blowing, and you seem to be determined to sell to Mr. Smith. So I do have a request with regard to the restricted covenant. I'd like a 5-foot-wide shrub-lined buffer along the western edge of the purchased property between Fern and the parkland. The shrubs must be 5 feet tall evergreens along the entire property line, 6 feet apart, as to provide a continuous screen effect. The plantings must occur immediately without delay once the sale has been confirmed. The trees must be maintained and healthy at all times. We'd like the buyer to provide a landscape and beautification plan showing a detailed plan for the screening and landscaping with a planting schedule specifying the quantity and type of plantings designated in their common names as well as scientific species. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of what's going on over there, and all right, I'm resigned to it. I don't want to have to look at it. So I would like this planting to be done. Excuse me?
Send that what I just read? Certainly.
Thank you. I do want to just interject 1 second to say that we did try at one point to put that buffer in, and the community didn't want it.
When the last time we talked about this, the board offered to put a white vinyl fence along the property line, and we didn't want the white vinyl fence because, as one neighbor pointed out, it would be an attractive nuisance, kids with graffiti on it. But okay, things have changed. The town has put in that lovely split rail fence, and in an effort to restore the park-like view, I think that the tree buffer would be a great addition at this time.
Thank you.
Oh, one more anecdotal thing. I live on the same block with Mr. Fernandez and his spouse, and 57% of the homes on our block have turned over in the past 5 years, and 88% of them have children that will be coming to our schools.
Thank you.
Good evening. Actually, I am the one of the family that moved to Orchard Street 4 years ago. So my sons...
Wait, can we have your name?
Unsil Kim. UNSIL, last name is Kim, K-I-M, 126 Orchard. So on our block, I think every other house or the towards, they're all family with the children. And my kids, they're taking buses, 5, 6 of them all together taking the bus every day. They're a huge number of family moving in, younger family. And our street is very narrow. So I'm looking at, I live right across the school. So I have the field with the fence. Mm-hmm. And across the street, there is a no parking or, no stopping sign on it. It's already crowded. And it's the fact that it is going to be sold to somebody that is not part of community. It's going to be privatized, and they could do whatever they want to do with that land, because I'm living right across the street. I don't want that view to change. they might think that they might, what I heard, I don't know if it's the truth, they might change that field that they're going to own to a parking lot.
What field?
The where the fence is in place.
Right.
Is that going to be preserved?
That's not our land.
That's what I'm saying. Once it's sold to them, they could do whatever they want. And we have to deal with the problem with the parking and all this car parking, the air quality, everything.
Whether we sell it or not, it's not our property.
So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be theirs. They could do whatever they want.
The town of Oyster Bay owns it.
We don't own it.
We don't own I understand.
And they won't and own it after. The town will own it.
Right, but then they could. You know what? I think that you guys already have decided to sell the place. That's how I hear it. You guys are not considering we are living right there. If I knew that it's going to be sold to private school 4 years ago, I wouldn't buy this property. I wouldn't live on that street. Because my husband and I, we moved from Queens, Bayside. One of the conditions that we talked about is not buying property around the school because there's always
but
traffic.
Did.
But we did because it's because of the there is a sign that they cannot stop in front of the across the street. There's no parking because it's very narrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the cars going around to end of the the street name, the Forest Street. That's Forest Drive, that's where the bus goes in. But we always have bus stopping in front of a house, waiting to get there during the day, right? I mean, we already have a traffic. We don't park our car on the street. And you guys, I feel like you guys are not considering the people that who live there on that street. Because you already decided to sell it because it's the profit. And I get that. But then that's how we feel, because we have to deal with it at the end. If you sell it, we are the one who's going to deal with them. And it's very hard. I'm a working mom, and I already have my children supposedly in childcare. Right now they're talking about moving them to another building because they don't have enough space and staff. So I don't know. I mean, this is my first time, and I spoke to my neighbor. She doesn't even know this is going on. I wish that you guys consider and they're sending out letters. I mean, I was on school website, right, district website, and I clicked on it, and that's how I find out today's meeting. So this is not well-informed on the people on the street. My next door neighbor, I called her today, and she was not aware of this.
Okay.
So that's it.
Thank you.
Good evening, George Norris, 2 Fern Place. So I live right on the corner where the school is. Been there for about 15 years. If you guys care to see it, I took one afternoon, I just went up Orchard Street and I went up Richard Court. And I got petitions, I have about 50 signatures, which I put just a couple hours in. If nobody answered the door, I didn't go back. This was just a one afternoon thing. Out of everybody that did answer the door, only one person didn't sign. He said he didn't want to sign anything until he came to the meeting himself, and I see he is here. So you guys made your arguments, and I think my neighbors and I all seem to feel you guys have made your decision, and that's fine. That's going to be your decision. But if anybody did sign this that now wants to force their name off it based on what they heard, please do so before I leave it here. I think the parking that we're concerned with them after the property is sold, if you guys are familiar with the property right there, just outside that fence, that big piece of grass where they're all parking anyway, I think that's what we're concerned. They're now going to build a parking lot. I know my neighbors on Richard Court are concerned because they were talking about it last time, about building a parking lot back there, and then they have to have all the gas fumes and everything with all the cars, although I'm pretty sure they're parking there anyway. Now, I know we said tonight enrollment was up slightly or not that much. Maybe it is on this side, but correct me if I'm wrong, because I sat for 2.5 hours at the last board meeting because I thought this was going to be addressed. And then at the very end, after I sat for those 2.5 hours, and God bless all the retirees, they deserve it. We should all retire one day, right? But after that, at the end, you guys said, okay, we're not having this. We're having it next week. So, of course, we showed up last week, and then we were told, no, it's this week. But in any event, during that meeting, I could swear I heard Dr. Lewis in particular say that enrollment is going up. We did really well. We're moving up in the ranks. Am I correct or no? We're moving up in the ranks on Long Island, New York State, and then enrollment's growing up, and there's a big issue with child care. You didn't say this?
Well, I mean,
if we could look at the minutes, I don't want to go back and forth, so I could have misheard too, but I can swear I heard you saying enrollment's going up, there's no flexibility in child care. You know, if you want
enrollment
an afternoon, you have to do an afternoon.
District isn't going up, but in child care it was going up, but that has apparently been resolved.
So, again, I mean, just one of the issues, once that building is sold, there's no taking it back, no matter where we go. And I understand you're saying there are other options. I mean, to some of my other neighbors' points, I don't know if maybe you guys should have looked further. Maybe it's too late now. But if there are better options out there, I don't know why we wouldn't explore it. But the school, the people that run the school in particular, you know, they haven't been great neighbors. They block our driveways. You know, they're just not very considerate. And just to give you guys a couple of examples, we've been here before. I've been at this podium before a few years back. I think it was about 5 years ago with all the parking conditions, right? And they told you how there's no parking on the street. That's why they need the parking lot. And then I came with all the pictures on two different afternoons of all the open parking spots, all along Orchard, along Fern Place, along Atwood. And I said to any of you guys, I'm working nights. Come by, knock on my door any day you want. Eventually, I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Mr. Cunningham. Somebody did come out from the school board along with the town. And we did point out all the open parking spots. But, you know, they wound up building that fence, and now they're parking on the grass where we didn't want them anyway to. Before that, they were building a sidewalk, and, you know, we saw them building a curb cut so they could park on the grass. And, yeah, I could see the look of surprise because they weren't supposed to do that, but they just took it upon themselves when it was being done to do it. So you guys are who we had to complain to when they were doing something a little underhanded, and, you know, you sell the school. It's leaving us in a bad situation because they're not going to listen to us. They don't already. And, you know, they're not the best neighbors. So we prefer that you don't sell it. If you want to see the list, like I said, it's only about 50 people. But
you can leave, you know, it,
it's
and we
every
will.
Single person except one that answered the door. They didn't say they didn't want it sold. And, again, that's just two streets. Right. But it's the ones that are most affected. It's Richard Court and Orchard. And, of course, Fern Place. Right. I signed it, too. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Norris.
Hello. My name's Eileen Supran. I live at 52 Forest Drive, which, if you look at that horizontal black line at the top of the map and the curve as it goes up, probably above the letter D of the word and is where my house is. So I have a pretty good view of the school from my porch, from my corner, that kind of thing. I sent in a letter, so I just
Thank
wanted
you.
To read part of it, and then I listened tonight, and I have a bunch of questions, so I was just wondering if those could be answered after. The letter I wrote was, as a neighbor of Fern Place School, I live around a bend on the north side, close to the path to the fields. I can see the north half of the school from my windows, but mostly I see the school when I drive north on Orchard Street from Old Country Road just about every day. From my perspective and my opinion, the only negative impact for me has been during the last 22 years was the increasing amount of cars that are parked parallel to Orchard Street on the grassy area, which evolved into the parking lot of today. The ranch-style fencing that was added a few years ago to create a designated parking area certainly makes it look better. The staff has been parking in the designated area, which is, of course, a good thing. Some neighbors feel this still looks like a parking lot on Orchard Street, and I do agree on some level because you still are facing cars. with the sale of the school, if there will be an increasing number of additional cars, I would like to personally ask or suggest the board, the tenant, the future owner, the school district, the town, maybe in a collaborative effort to add bushes and hedges, similar to what Mary talked about, so the view of the parked cars would be improved. If you drove up Orchard Street and you saw a bunch of trees, a berm, very similar to what Country Point is building, so the houses on Round Swamp don't look into the development, something like that. If you drove up and you saw that versus the fronts of 58 cars, because there are 58 spots facing Orchard Street, I think that would make a difference. I think that would make it a little less unsightly. I feel that would benefit the value of the surrounding homes, that if you had a potential buyer and they looked and they saw a parking lot there versus, oh, that is such a nice landscaping, you know, thing. Other than that, in the future, I feel that the adjacent tenants, including myself, should be able to have dialogue with the new owner so both school and residents can coexist without any tension or issues. I would hope that the new owner, if it is sold, would commit to having open conversations at any time, no matter whether initiated by themselves or the residents. This is the best way to coexist and be good neighbors to one another. Other neighbors who live closer or farther may have other concerns, but the purpose of this email was to just give you my perspective. So tonight I listened to a lot of comments, so I have a couple of questions. One is, I vote at Fern Place School, so just wondering if the school is sold, what happens with the voting? What'd you say? Just so we all vote there.
Board of Elections will decide on another. It will not be a public school.
They would put it into Pasadena or somewhere else, so it would affect us a little.
We don't know.
Board of Elections will select somewhere in
that area. Okay, so that will change and everything. Okay. As far as taxes go, obviously the school district, we don't get any kind of tax benefit because it's our school. When the school is sold, will there be taxes that the tenant, the owner, not tenant, the owner will be paying now into our big lot?
I assume not, because I believe it's a nonprofit.
The nonprofit organization, so no.
Is the entire building used for only nonprofit? Because we had been told over the years that there was a for-profit daycare, like a Miss Sue's or a Miss Debbie's, operating in the building. I think it was called Kids Connection. I don't know anything about it, but is that something we can find out to see if how much of the operations are going to be non-profit and how much is for-profit? Because perhaps maybe they need, if they buy it, maybe they're due. Maybe we're due taxes because of it. I don't know.
We can look into it.
We would look into it. Thank you.
Okay. As far as the comment to sell to a private builder, that building might not be used by anybody in our district, but the fields are used by a lot of people in our district. Not only Challenger, which is for Plainview, but also all over Long Island. Plainview Little League uses the fields. Plainview Soccer uses the fields. I drive home every night, and I see families on that field. When there isn't a game, I see a dad, practicing baseball with his son, so it really is used. So I think it's, of course, important to keep the fields, but that is a big reason why I would not want it sold to a developer, because I do feel that we all pay taxes to have access to all of that grassy area. I even had an adult softball game once with a bunch of friends, because it's our field, and why not use it, and it was really fun. Another thing about the private developer issue, the last time there was land in Plainview and it was a developer wanted to develop it, it was zoned for 100 homes. And now, as we know, there are 800 homes on that property. So my fear would be a developer would say, sure, I won't do this. And then they'll petition the town and we'll all go to the town of Oyster Bay and we'll all say we don't want it. And then the next day it will be done and it'll be 70 houses or 90 houses on that small area. So that's a reason that I feel that with the development, sometimes you really can't trust it. Is there anything that prevents the new owner from the day after the sale selling the property to a developer?
Yeah, the covenant.
It's a permanent covenant, so he would only be able to sell it to another school? Okay, I just want to make sure, because we know it needs $23 million worth of work, so I wouldn't want him to buy it for $3 million and then turn it over for $10 and make a profit, and then, you know, where you have to be the one stuck with it. As far as the grassy land in front, I know it's the town's land, but that grassy land affects all of the neighbors, including myself, when the building is sold. So although I know you don't have any control over it, it is a very big part of this, and we could end up with a completely paved parking lot the next day. We don't know if the owner is possibly already talking to the town to say, you know, for another $500,000, I'll take this off your hands, and they say sure. So I do think that part of it, possibly, you know, if there's a way to keep it in the conversation with them to say, you know, the neighbor, you still have to be a good neighbor. We don't want you to ask the town to turn this into a whole parking lot. And that is it. Those are my answers. So
I just want to kind of piggyback on what you just said. Maybe you want to contact, not just you, whomever, want to contact the town, because they would be the deciding factor entity in terms of that land if, in fact, it's sold. Whether the sale happens or not. Right, because...
Well, I think we asked a couple of... I think we asked Lou to come, but he didn't come. So I will reach out to him, though. And
okay,
speak to him.
Thank
about
you.
It. Thanks.
And
okay.
Thanks for your questions.
Leonora's Two Fern Place. I wasn't going to really speak tonight because I thought this was like a done deal, because that's a message you've given us. We've been fighting this for a long time, and it really is, we get such disrespect from the ACDS all these years. I'm a special educator for over 21 years, neighbors across the street, special educator. Mary's mother was a special educator, and I sat at one of my meetings as a special educator liaison, and one of the girls sits there and says, oh, I take my kid to Fern Place, you know, she just had a baby. And she says that they say that you're anti-special education. And I'm like, you've known me for like 5 years, and I've been coming to this meeting, you know, I'm a special liaison. That's not true. And that really was very hurtful, because we always were very friendly to them. Sometimes they sat like on our, you know, the bus drivers would sit on our lawn or something, and because they were hot, we would go out and give them water. But we did say, you know, it's private property, but they still, you know, we always did that. And my kids were always respectful to them. I ran a robotics group for about six or seven years from my house. And it was on Fridays, and the kids needed to, like, run around, like, after they got home from school and stuff like that. And I couldn't let them go outside in the front for a long time, because the cars would go through the lawn. And I could never allow them, we never put the fence on the side, which is Fern and Orchard, because of the way they drive out on Fridays. It was always, like, beeping, and sometimes the neighbors and I would be standing outside, maybe having a chat. We'd jump off, like, onto my grass on the sidewalk. And that's the way they were, always like that. It's just, we've never used our side lawn the whole time. I mean, it got worse and worse as years went on. They do, in fact, have daycare there. It is Kids Connection. And it's highly overcrowded in that building, and I think they're probably over compliance, but that's just what I see. I cannot say that for a fact. I do have a picture. I was home for about 5 months because I was hurt and I had surgery. So I would sit at the bay window and look outside, and it was horrific. I mean, my husband's home on Mondays, and I don't know how he dealt with it. My daughter had come back from Serbia, and I had a PT appointment, and she was going to come with me. I always give myself 45 minutes, even though it takes me like 10 minutes to get there. I go outside, didn't look outside. I didn't notice. I just, you know, went to go to my appointment, a car was blocking my driveway. And I'm sure you probably got a picture from someone about that. I don't send in any pictures, but I do have it back there. I call my husband. He's a retired police sergeant. So I said, what should I do? He goes, call the cops. I hate doing that because it's just not my thing and it's not my husband's thing. I call the school and I call the cops. The cop finally came by. The school comes, once someone from the school comes out, they're giving the description of the car. He gets off. He goes, please put it on the, you know, speaker. I'm like, I'm going to miss my appointment. 45 minutes I'm sitting there. The girl comes out, and she felt completely justified, tells her assistant principal, because we had someone come in later on to speak to us about it, that she didn't have anywhere to park. Well, Orchard has plenty of spots there, okay? And, again, I work in Bayside, and we have to park three blocks away. We park three blocks away. Doesn't matter what the weather's like. So, you know, a couple of us work in Bayside. So we don't understand that philosophy that they cannot walk. We don't get it. And we also have District 75. So parents, you know, sometimes have to drop their kids. They're not necessarily all bused. And we also have special ed in my school. They're not all necessarily all bused. You know, parents have to drop them off. Okay, so I don't get it. We do not understand that mentality of people, like, they don't. So she felt justified. She told the assistant principal that I had nowhere to park. I had to pay my copay because I made an appointment, and I missed my appointment for PT. When I was,
sorry, you missed your appointment.
But I had to pay the copay, and I was aggravated, and this was, like, way too much. It's gone. It's out of control. They have no respect for us. And I hate it that they always use that special ed thing, and that's not true. That is not true. That's because we're not like that. I mean, we always wave to the kids, and of course, like I said, I've been a special educator for over 21 years now. There was one other point I wanted to make, and I just, because I wasn't planning on talking. I come home every day, get a pair of gloves. I have to pick up the garbage. One day when I was sitting there and I was better, you know, and I could go outside, I went outside. She's throwing a cup. This one woman does it all the time, but quite a few do it. Throwing her Dunkin' Donuts cup right there in front of my house. I go outside. I said, can you please not do that? I mean, my garbage can's like usually like in the driveway. I mean, can you please not do that? She sits there and she just gives me the finger and walks away. I don't argue with them. I don't want to confront, you know, be confrontational with anyone. I mean, we get their packages, we give it to them because they're four and we're two. We give it to them. For a while there, we weren't even getting our bills because they were keeping it because you get mailmen, you know, whatever. We have always been courteous. We have been good neighbors, and we don't want to get that reputation. It's very disheartening because that's not it. That's not the way we are.
We understand.
But what
that
they've done is they've destroyed, like, our neighborhood and the quietness. And we did pick, when we saw the special ed school there, that's one thing that the real estate person said to us, do you want that there? You know, do you want to get that? You know, so a lot of people don't want to get a house like that. I'm like, I have no problem with a special ed school. I mean, we love to see the kids. Again, my daughter's 23. She's on her own in Boston. My son is going to graduate next year from JFK. I see the little ones on our block. The way my husband and I have always been is like, we watch those kids too. They're they're our kids too. And it is really hard when you watch a kid riding a bike and they're coming through, and it's just really disheartening. And
thank you
and,
for
and
your comment.
It's just, we want someone there who respects us the way we respect them. They do not respect us. They do not care about our neighborhood. We should not be cleaning up after their mess. We should not be having to argue with them all the time.
Okay.
And we don't argue. We go there very nicely, and we're attacked by them. Mary and I went over there and talked to them very nicely.
I'm going to have to cut you off, but I thank you very much. We hear what you're saying.
How you doing? John War. I live at 132 Orchard Street. Now, you keep mentioning the town of Oyster Bay that other parcel. Now, do you know there's a backflow preventer on that property?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when it was put in, there was some kind of deal made. That belongs on Fern Place property, yet the town of Oyster Bay let it happen. Now, if anyone could read a set of prints, would know what was going on. Somebody made a choice. So town of Oyster Bay doesn't want that property. If you sell to this group, somehow they're going to get that piece of property, or they're going to try and get that property. So we need some guarantee that that will not happen. I know the town of Oyster Bay owns it, but somehow we don't want it being taken over.
Thank you.
The timer off. Hi, I'm Michelle Santoro, 19 Richard Court. My backyard backs up to the gym of Fern Place School, so my husband and I have been there for 10 years now. I have twins that started Pasadena this year, and I have to say this is the second time this year where the school district has let me down. I'm not too happy with how kindergarten turned out for them this year. I'm hoping next year will be better. But anyway, so, I mean, the parking back there where our backyard is to the fence, a lot of cars park back there. It's a grassy area. It's not a designated parking lot. So twice a year, my husband has to go around the building and take his truck and pull the fence because the people back into our fence every year, and it knocks it down. So he has to go back there and, you know, do what he has to do there. And like I said, I'm going to make this short and sweet because I'm sure you pretty much sold it already. But I have to say that I am disappointed. And I just wish that all of you would maybe just put yourselves in our shoes and see how you would feel if this was affecting your family. I'm just nervous to see that if you do sell it, who's going to take it over and what's going to happen to my backyard in the next couple of years. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mertz, 84 Nassau. Wasn't going to talk, but anybody who knows me knows that's probably not possible. One of my biggest issues is, and just sitting here listening, because really, honestly, this obviously is a done deal. So it's sort of why bother, but trying to look at both sides. Everything is put out to bid, whether it be the meal to Whitson's, the bus to We Transport. Why isn't this being put out? I don't understand why we are just taking, and trust me when I say, because I am an alumni of this school, okay, for over 19 years. So believe me when I say, talking to the people, they already consider this a done deal. Okay, apparently.
You're referring to the people in the school?
The people that are interested in buying this property already consider it a done deal. I don't understand why their urgency. They're not making plans for anywhere going after August, okay? Their urgency shouldn't be our urgency. I don't understand why this even has to be made next month to accommodate them. And like you said, with the baseball field, they'll allow us, after we sell it to them, they'll allow us to park there, to use the fields instead of that one walkway going up until they put a fence around it. And then you can't get through, like we can't get through the playgrounds because the fences are locked up. I don't know. Just my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
And have a good summer, everyone.
You too, Cindy. Wait a second. Is there anybody else from the community that wishes to speak? Mr. Drucker?
I'm just going to say a quick two words. First of all, I'm legislator Arnie Drucker, lifelong member of this community. And what I find particularly sobering tonight is Mr. Cunningham keeps mentioning how the last time this school was occupied as a school by the school district was 1974, which was the year I graduated from Plainview High School. So, but, you know, as a member of this community, though, I have to tell you that I've witnessed these kids at the ACDS school, and I'm proud that we have a district and a community that embraces a school that offers the kind of services to children that have such needs. And they're such beautiful, wonderful children. When you see them, it breaks your heart, but they're so loving. And I'm happy that they feel comfortable enough to invest in our community. However, with that being said, as a legislator, it is my job to protect, advocate for, and defend the rights and the quality of life of the people in this district and in this community. So with that being said, you know, there are ways that we can ensure going forward that perhaps if the building is sold to this ACDS, that maybe you could, Mr. Gersio, you could add language in the contract, I'm a lawyer too, to the covenants to mandate certain aspects of their practices with parking. A lot of the issues, I think, have to do with personnel and respecting the regulations. I mean, but there are safety and health issues involved on that street, which are peripheral to the actual purchase of the building. But, you know, Trustee Greenberg, you presented like an appellate brief today. The five different options here, which I think is going to serve the board members very well here in evaluating what decision they're going to make. And I have the utmost confidence that you will do that. You will consider all of the issues here, and there are a number of issues. You have to consider the residents here and the community members. But we do have to consider all those options that were pointed out and what's best for this community and this school district. I thank you for your time and for your investment in our community and our children, and I wish all of you a very happy summer, too.
Thank you, Mr. Drucker.
Marilyn Leibowitz, I live at 101 Nassau Avenue. The only question I have, why is this prospective person who wants to buy the property the only one you have looked at? Has this gone out for bids? Has this gone out for entertaining any other opportunity to make this purchase? Why? That's my only question. Why is this person the only person being allowed to make the bid to purchase the land? Why can't somebody else have an opportunity to bid on this? Maybe I want to buy this. Right, okay. Maybe I want to have an opportunity to make this purchase. Why was this done and prepared for one individual? That's my question. Maybe I have the capacity. I'm an educator as well. I could have made a bid and want to buy this. Maybe I want to build a school here. Why is this being given to one person only? I don't think that's the proper way to do things. That's my comment.
Thank you. Mr. Gersio, do you want to say anything to that?
I would only be repeating what I said earlier.
Okay. Thank you. I want to thank everyone for attending, for caring about our school district and our community, and for your participation. We will see you on August 12th. A decision, as we've all said, has not been made. And we will reconvene on August 12th to discuss it again. May I have a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of collective bargaining negotiations? Ginger, a second. Seth, all those in favor? Thank you. Have a restful and safe summer. Oh, what? We have more questions?
Well, no, just
and I'd like to thank the people who have watched the live stream. And again, you can continue to contact us either through email or phone call. Thank you.
Objective to the way